Dave, let me make sure I've got this straight. We all know Mullen can't recruit, never has been able to recruit, and he will never be able to recruit. But Derek Wingo flips from Penn State to Florida, and I just looked at the rankings, and the guy who can't recruit has his team ranked number 7 in the nation. So how does all that work?
Yeah, well, Bill, yeah, it all works by having a pretty big weekend this past weekend for one. And you know, Derek Wingo was one that I was definitely on the lookout for. Talking to some people that he was going to take some visits, and he didn't want it to be known. And if you read some of the articles out there, he didn't want it to be known as more as a disrespect to Penn State. Didn't want questions being raised, questions being asked. I kind of wanted to keep it on the down low. Florida was going to get a lot of chances to make up ground and sell their program to Wingo. He was going to take visits. He was going to listen to what Florida had to offer. The interest was there. Kind of comes from a non-confrontational family of wanting to make the right decisions and all that. And they really didn't want to didn't want to disappoint Penn State in a way. But in the end, you got to look out for yourself, and that's kind of really what it all came down to. Location played a factor. Only 300 miles away from his hometown down in South Florida. His family can make the trips. And Christian Robinson, the linebacker coach for the Gators, probably the best recruiter on the staff, really sat down, really took the time with Wingo and his family and really got the deal done in the end.
Gator Dave with us. His podcast is Gators Breakdown. We will let you know how you can get that podcast. Speaking of that, have you listened to any of the Zach Smith podcasts? A recent one, he describes a wide receiver film session where Percy Harvin jumps Jared Fajan and starts beating the heck out of him.
Well, that wouldn't be the first confrontation we've heard about Percy Harvin. And you go back and there's some rumors of confrontation with a coach as well. Back in the day, and the further we get from that time at Florida, stories just keep coming out. And I guess with Zach Smith and his podcast, of course, even more is going to come out of his connection with Urban Meyer and everything that was going on there. And Percy was a special talent, and a lot of times special talent get away with a lot of things other kids wouldn't. And I think in a previous podcast, Zach Smith was talking about Percy never really not knew or not showing up for practice at points, missing an away game as well against South Carolina in one of his years. So it was some eye opening stuff that he is sharing. And on the field, if he could have put it all together, like I said, there was some times at Florida he just wasn't on the field. But when he was on the field, Percy Harvin was probably, not if not the best player that I've ever seen, one of the best players that I've ever seen, with just everything he brought to the table. And Pete Carroll basically said the same thing when talking to Urban Meyer. But he called Urban Meyer, going back to that podcast, there was another one where he talks to Pete Carroll, noticed just the talent that Percy Harvin brings, but had to call Urban Meyer basically say, how do you keep this guy under control? And Urban Meyer basically telling him, well, good luck.
Yeah. Well, I'll say this, and you just touched on it. Percy Harvin is a breathtaking athlete. Watching him, even in the Oklahoma National Championship game, the 08 season, down in Miami, and I was there. We were doing the show from down there. And he wasn't even right. He had an ankle or so? He had a problem. Yeah, he wasn't hammy. I don't remember what it was.
That rainy FSU game, he got tackled and a high ankle sprain, got hurt. Missed the SEC championship game. And Florida was still able to win that. And you're right, he's probably 75-80% against Oklahoma, but still a difference maker on the field.
Correct. Even with a limp, this guy's pulling away from people. Percy Harvin is one of the best offensive skill players. The thing about it, Gator Dave, is I don't even know what his position was. He's kind of a combination wing back, running back, wide receiver, right? He's kind of all of that. He's not a pure I formation running back. He's not a pure receiver. He's a combination of all that.
Yeah, he played receiver more than he did any other position, Bill. But you're right. They'd line him up in Wildcat. They'd line him up beside the quarterback. He'd line up a receiver. They'd motion him into the backfield. He'd take a counter play for 80 yards. I mean, you're right. If you want to, you can't really label him, I don't think. We'll label him as a receiver just to do it, you know, when you kind of list and maybe all-time Gator greats and you have to pick a position. You pick receiver. But all-purpose weapon is really what you have to call him.
Gator Dave with us. Gators Breakdown is the podcast. So what is next in recruiting? What are the Gators waiting on?
We got Finley Graham yesterday, who was a cornerback out of Lakeland. It's a three-star probably, but he's going to be that gadget return guy in return game, Bill. He's an electric return man, kickoff, punt returns, and that's going to be his main role, I believe, when he gets on campus. Probably a little too small to play outside cornerback. You might can slide him inside a little bit, but he's going to be if you go back and look at Brandon James, what he was able to do his time at Florida was kick return, punt return. He would get some carries every now and then, but his main cog, his main role was as a return specialist. But Friday Night Lights is about a month away. The big Florida camp, the dead period comes up about right now. But there's a couple commits out there, or a couple targets out there to kind of look out for. Antoine Powell is going to choose between Florida and Virginia Tech on July 4th, I believe. So Florida feels good about that one. Virginia Tech feels good about that one. So we'll kind of see where they go from there. Maybe some more in between here and Friday Night Lights. And the Friday Night Lights will be the kind of culmination of putting a lot of the recruiting efforts together after the staff takes some vacations coming up in the next few weeks. But they had a really big weekend this past weekend with four commits. Maybe a couple more on the way. July 4th, as I said, is one to look out for there. But Florida's set themselves up going into fall camp pretty good. And Bill, I mentioned Friday Night Lights a month away, but with Florida and Miami moving that game up in a month, Bill, we'll be starting fall camp.
I know. Boy, it's amazing.
Yeah, Friday Night Lights and fall camp, Bill, are on the same day.
How about that? Gator Dave with us. Did you get a chance to read Matt Hayes' Bleacher Report story on how it's all Jimbo's fault that Willie Taggart had such a poor year, number one?
I did, Bill. It got a lot of play around here in Jacksonville. Matt Hayes is now on the radio here in Jacksonville as well. So it was on local radio, talked about a lot as well. But yeah, I did read it. It did seem kind of like a hit piece to me on the end of the Jimbo regime at FSU.
Right.
And I do get that in a little bit. I don't doubt that stuff happened. But there were also a lot of fixable issues that should have been fixed, that shouldn't have been problems under Willie Taggart last year. And I know it was mentioned in the article, you're playing Florida, it's the last game of the season, 12th game of the season, but you still can't get players lined up. You still don't have 11 players on the field. Some players are looking lost, but there's no excuse for that to be happening in game 12. There was no progress on offense made throughout the whole season. To me, that's hard to pin on Jimbo Fisher when you're there for 12 games and there's not really a whole lot of steps being taken forward there as well, and kind of got worse on defense throughout the whole year as well, in my opinion. So, I guess in that situation you can put some of it on Jimbo with a culture and all that, but at some point, and I know a lot of Gator fans did the same thing with Will Muschamp and Urban Meyer and blaming Urban Meyer for a lot of things that were left, but it all comes down to you got to fix it yourself, and I guess you can use some excuses, but in the end, it all falls on you.
The biggest conspiracy, though, Gator Dave, is Karen has been suspended. She's not on Twitter right now. Her account was suspended. We're thinking Matt Hayes knew this and knew this was the right time to put out the hit on Jimbo. You agree?
I can only imagine why Karen was kicked off of Twitter. There's probably many ways to go there. Karen and I go back. She's always been personally nice to me, but I've seen some of the arguments she gets in there, and I'm guilty of it myself sometimes. But that's a good spin. I can go with that one.
Well, I mean, think about it. If you're going to put out a hit on Jimbo, do you want Karen after you, or do you want her not after you? It's a pretty simple decision, right?
Yeah, I should DM her the number to the local radio station when Matt Hayes is on in the middle of the day, and maybe she can call in to his show.
Tell everybody how they can get Gators Breakdown.
You can get Gators Breakdown on news4jax.com/Gators Breakdown. This week we took a look back at the exciting weekend. The Gators got three commitments, added one yesterday as well. And Chris Doering, Bill, Gator great wide receiver, former wide receiver for the Gators, joined me as well to kind of preview the team and really take a look at the wide receiver position for the Gators.
See you next week, sir.
Thanks, Bill.